are rolling.
Okay. Yay. This is a meeting of the South Kingstown Sustainability Committee. My name is Angela Tuoni, and I am definitely here.
And then, actually, Angela, will you do me a favor?
Yes.
Read the date of the meeting.
Oh, right. It is January 16th. It is about 5:15 in the afternoon. Also, I'm still here.
Yep.
Oh, Hannah Marini, I'm here.
Chris Hubbard, I'm here. And Doug McLean's staff is present. Great.
Done and done. We have to approve some minutes, yeah?
We do.
I don't have them in front of me.
I've got them right here if anybody has any questions.
I'll have to abstain because I wasn't here, right?
You don't have to abstain. In fact, actually, we prefer it if you don't, because then we have a vote of the quorum.
As long as I'm allowed to vote on something I wasn't here for, I will not abstain.
You actually are. It's odd. But that's how outgoing groups can approve the minutes, or incoming groups can approve the minutes of outgoing groups, like when town council changes hands.
Oh, cool.
In fact, without your vote, we don't have a quorum voting on anything.
Okay, cool.
So feel free to take a minute if you'd like to look through. As you guys are aware, the minutes, I don't know how you felt about them before, but they're currently being done by myself. As a means to, we're both making them more terse and more direct.
So we do need an intern.
We do need an intern. We could use all the help we can get.
Job. Very terse.
Yes. Trying to be terse. So, any thoughts on these?
I would make a motion to approve the minutes as written.
Can I second things?
You can, actually.
I second Chris's motion. Did anybody want to talk about that?
Very terse.
Very terse. Discussion? Terse. Okay. The motion passes.
Nope, we need a vote.
Nope, we're going to vote on it.
Aye.
All those in favor?
Aye. Yes. Aye.
She has to call the vote.
Yeah, you call the vote.
Okay.
So we're basically just saying, like, oh, you called it. You got the discussion. You got the discussion. And then right after discussion, but hearing none. Uh-huh. All those in favor?
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 The ayes have it.
Okay, now it passes.
Now it passes.
And we move on. Okay. So we're going to discuss community outreach and education for vehicle idling.
So I think that this one's largely going to be tabled on a long discussion. I wanted to give you guys a copy of the letter that was sent based on your review and approval last month. And generally, just to know that the council received this, that they thought it was good analysis. They were very, happy that, we had, dug into our own potential municipal decision making. And I think they're happy that we're keeping the line of communication open. Tony, and in my very, very brief conversation with him last week, did indicate that he has not spoken with Sharon yet.
Okay.
And I said, well, Tony, if you'd like, we can keep this. I'm going to add it as an agenda if she chooses to show up. If not, we could probably keep this as a rolling item for the next month if Tony wants to make that invitation at a meeting he's going to attend. And I think what we would do is hear what Sharon has to say, maybe talk about our own goals with public engagement and outreach. Maybe talk about, how we, could share our energy and effort on it, and then keep the line of communication open with her. I don't see this being something that we would make like a huge piece, central piece of our work effort, but I see it as something if we're going to have public meetings and we want to raise topics with the community members that are, here, what can we all be doing, and what are other ways that the community members might have resources to help us in this regard? This is a great topic for that. So, so that's that. Any questions on it?
That's very clear.
Surely, you're welcome.
Tabled.
Do we have to vote to table it?
No.
Okay.
No. Basically, I'll just put it, you'll see it on your next agenda. It'll basically say the exact same thing.
Okay.
And if Tony and Angela aren't there then we can talk about whether we should actually just reschedule this when we know Tony or, I'm sorry, if Tony or Sharon are planning to come next meeting, then we can table this for a time and we know they will be here. So.
Okay. Sounds good to me. Discussion of charge up electric vehicle incentive program.
So this one can be a pretty quick one as well. Charge Up is a program offered by the Office of Energy Resources. You guys all got a little bit of paperwork. This was more as just a teaser for you. I did ask the state a few key questions about this, just to know if this could be a fit in SK. I've also asked some staff people key questions about this. I think that with all municipal ventures, SK would be dipping its toe into this water, not diving fully in. So we'd probably be looking at this as maybe a one to two vehicle
yeah.
pilot and municipal vehicles that aren't tasked with really like heavy workloads.
Not going to access construction sites, things like that.
Like so not basically we're talking about the town service vehicles, but not like the highway construction, even the regular cars that might be out at a construction site where they're.
Fire inspector was not on
town. I mean, one of the first ones that came up was, I guess, there's a town vehicle that is required to go between all of the libraries on a daily basis and somehow drop books off between each other. And like, there's lots of vehicles that are used for very. Regular, lightweight is a good way to frame it. Tasks. So, I think we have a process of one identifying that this program could assist in that kind of scale of project integration. My questions that I asked the state were, I don't know, if the economy of scale of buying one electric vehicle works with their model for charging stations and the like. And it does seem like there's flexibility that you can get. Charging stations that aren't like these really incredibly expensive high investment things so that you can get one moderate charging station that is not designed to fill tons of cars but maybe one or two vehicles and then the vehicle, I think you guys got info on the vehicle pricing list. So really this just becomes something that I think we will use this group, as I would actually have already discussed using this group to vet various state grants, programs, incentive opportunities where they exist, and use this group to be the mechanism in which we would make a recommendation to the town council. And generally, we would not make those recommendations until we feel like we've done all the due diligence about it. So, like staff and, in cooperation with this, all the homework, line it up. And then we send it to the council, and it comes in the form of a letter from this group to the council. I'm open to doing that for anything that we feel is really within our purview. And, I think this is a program that is a perfect fit for that kind of vetting. So at our next meeting, we might have someone from OER, Ryan Cody, attend. To maybe give us more background and give us, answer more questions. So that's that.
Is there a deadline? I see it has to be purchased after.
I didn't see any sign-up deadline.
So basically until when it runs out? Sort of.
It doesn't seem to be based on a funding cycle or apply by this date, and it doesn't have an end date.
Oh my god, that's bigger than just us.
That
okay.
one?
Yeah.
Okay. So we can get our library into Tesla.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah, so we'll take a look at it. My conversations with town staff were basically that, this could be a fit for that as a first trial, and then we can see where it goes.
This might be a dumb question, but the program itself, is it both the vehicle and the charging station? Is there an option to just do, we're going
to
put...
Charging station to get the money for the vehicle. So the money for the charging station is up to $15,000 for... Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
there was a limit on... up to 15
for the vehicle,
and then there was a limit on the charging station. It wasn't 60 grand for the charging station. It was 60 grand total for multiple charging stations with a max of 15,000 as well for any individual charging station. So you can get 15 grand for a charging station. That includes money for installation as well. And then you, on top, once you get the station, you can use up to 15 grand for each vehicle purchase. My questions to the state were, you know, basically the other one was, what's the station cost that would meet our needs? And they generally said the average applicant usually covers about 75% of their costs through the grant. So most of the grant, most of the charging station is covered. And then our choice on our vehicle, it looks like it's a range between maybe somewhere between half to a third of the cost of the vehicle.
Very cool.
So.
This is great. I had no idea this was going on.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So that'll be, it'll probably be a slow cooker for a little while. We'll have Ryan come as the next step, and then we will probably think about it, digest it, and try to answer any internal staffing questions before we would make any motion to the council.
Cool.
So that's that.
Sweet. Next Solarize program outreach.
So
our faces are on a flyer.
Yeah, all your faces are on a flyer. I mean, the major updates are that one, Scotty is no longer with Solar Flare, so we so now we have a new kind of local lead.
You know what? I was just gonna say this is one sad looking smile. Everyone else looks thrilled except for him.
Yes, Scotty. It's because at the moment he was taking that picture, he realized, oh, I am not.
I'm gonna be on this flyer. I'm about to quit.
So we have a new local guy, and we are planning a event that you guys got to be on the flyer for.
Yeah.
You will all, in the next day or two, be receiving an email from me to do my standard, hey, help forward this along to anyone you would see. Then I'm also going to ask you to like and share or repost on our Facebook when that's up.
Mm-hmm.
So just standard routine of, you know, help me with reaching out to your network. And then
Can we get the boilerplate one, this one posted on the Facebook page? The dated one is on there, but
from December.
Yeah, the December one is still on there.
I think the way we're going to do it is, I think this will make it, but I don't want to overwhelm people with two different ones. So I think the next one to go on Facebook will be this.
Okay.
And this will be the one that stays up, and then this is what I ask them to have, so we can have something that we don't have to take down and up, and we just have a general flyer that lives in the office outside of any specific event. And this one also has like the details on the back of the finances.
The
so this actually lives in a poster form in some town locations with high loads downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Lives at the rec center, the guild, and the Peacetown Library. You may also, if you're someone that goes to the rec center on a Saturday, or goes to the farmer's market on a Saturday, or goes to the Peacedale Library some other time, you may see a Solar Flare rep or a Smart Power rep tabling at one of those events in the next month.
We'd like to see it on Facebook, though, and the reason approached the board of directors of the Narrow River Preservation Association about cross-site sharing and cross-posting, and they're willing to do that, you know.
Is it most helpful for them to actually have this in a digital format that they can post on their end?
They felt more comfortable saying, hey, SK is a supporter of the NRPA, because they feel that solar is kind of outside of our charge as Narrow River Preservation. But we know that you, whatever, we have 6,000 followers, we have a big number of followers.
Yeah,
this is the type of thing that you would be interested in. Please contact SK with further interest.
Sure.
Slightly isolated, but
I'm happy to make this available for that. I probably will still, instead of like trying to put two up right next to each other, I want to focus on just the event one
okay.
for now. So
okay.
maybe if they're willing, but then this will go up right after the event, and this will kind of serve as a
okay.
general flyer.
So subs.
Can the back go
on the back of that?
Well, on a flyer that's digital, I can definitely put this on the back of this anytime. But for a digital flyer, generally it's just going to be
okay.
a one pager.
Right.
So these both live as one pagers. I just actually threw the back on this for a physical handout.
Okay. All right.
But I could do the same with this if you wanted physical handouts, but you're looking more for a digital.
Yeah, Facebook.
I think, yeah. Most of them are just one pagers.
So before we post anything, if I call this phone number, he's going to pick up.
Are you looking at 349-3475?
Yeah.
It's going to be a solar flare rep. And you're going to say, I'm in South Kingstown, I'm part of the Solarize thing. And they'll say, okay, we will either take your information,
yeah.
or they'll direct you right to the, you know, like whoever their salesperson is.
We don't have any.
I specifically asked for them to make their number, if excuse me, if possible, a 401 number.
Yeah.
Because I know how people are.
Uh-huh.
And
I have a Google number now for that exact reason.
Really?
So I don't have to give up my 603 number, so I can keep
going. Yeah. So this is an office. They do have an office in. It's like North Smithfield.
Yeah, right.
And it's not like their North Smithfield office is their Solarize SK team,
right.
but it's a number that they have
yeah.
that they can then put, you know, whoever they want. And we're going to get a sales rep who's going to be handing out his personal cell phone number to people, which I'm fine with.
Yep.
And that number is going to be a Massachusetts
yeah,
phone number because most of their staff are Mass people.
Right.
And I'm fine with that, too. I just want it for the major flyer for the 401
number. Okay.
So...
As long as this isn't, like, going directly to Scotty and it's going to be, like, a dead
like,
number. Like, I just want to make sure that the information that people... Because that's what people are going to stick to. And I also have concerns. I feel like if someone's like, oh, yeah, I guess I'll finally call. Like, they may not try more than once. Yeah, they may try once and like, that that's going to work.
Right.
Twice.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, hopefully there's not... we don't have any challenges with the transition of Scotty, who obviously
yeah.
started a bunch of... conversations. They didn't have any signed contracts. We don't have any signed contracts at this point. I think that there are challenges in the solar industry right now because people are vaguely aware that there's some sort of tariff.
Oil.
And that people are also aware that the state incentive programs aren't like here, but they're kind of here.
Yeah.
And so there's generally a lot of people that feel like they don't have enough solid backing to sign a contract now. Although a lot of it has to do with messaging, because most of the time, if you know, the odds of them getting, for example, the REF money, it increases if they act soon.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though it's not here, their odds of getting it are
right.
better if they act now, not wait until the date shows up.
Right. Which we saw.
And we're also talking with people about maybe messaging the incentives in a way where if you're really, most people, at least from Solar Flare's perspective, like the REG better.
Yeah.
And so those people are still waiting until April.
Right.
They don't have to, but a lot of people want to. But if there's someone that would do REF but doesn't want to do it because they don't know if it's here or not, giving them an option of here's the REF, here's what your finance modeling looks like. If for whatever reason that doesn't pan out and the funding isn't there and you don't make the cut for REF funding, here's what you can automatically, your contract can be transferred to an REG contract so that they kind of like have an option A and an option B. But
yep.
if they're satisfied with both options and they say, I just want to sign a contract, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
If it ends up being B, then we can sign them. And, you know, for them to have a means to, the contract to have a way to have that condition. So we've been talking about that. What else? Oh, there's something that this group might have to do at its next meeting. We floated the idea of a letter coming from the town to select residents that live in postal routes that have a high likelihood of solar efficiency.
Okay.
Basically areas of town without as much trees and with good solar southern exposure.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is south of Route 1, so it's the kind of coastal
yeah.
area of town.
Yeah.
And then there's some areas in the core of Wakefield or... However it is, we came up with probably about 2,000 and change, you know, almost 3,000 addresses that we were going to send this letter to. In the end, it was a little bit of a surprise outcome that the town manager elected he did not want to sign a letter because he felt like it was a little bit too much of the town putting itself in a position of a sales pitch. The letter was fairly neutral in tone, but I kind of understand when people, you know, just say, you know, I really don't want the, you know, the town to be like, hey,
right.
Yay, Solarize, and make sure you call our installer. You know,
right.
I see both sides of that equation. It was a surprise outcome because it, you know.
Telling you're gearing up for it.
We were gearing up for it. And one potential out, and we're working with our new town manager. I'm not asking him to do this in his first day, which was but over the next few weeks, we're going to feel him out on that letter, which he was aware of, and he was aware that the old town manager said no letter, not in my name. And he may feel strongly like, yeah, I'm not going to just sign the letter right after the other
right.
guy left. But that letter coming from the Sustainability Committee as a town entity
mm-hmm.
still has the same value of this not coming from a sales rep or a state. It's coming from a local source. The return address is a local address.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that this committee could serve a role because, one, you're not a paid group. So it's not like, oh, I'm a paid staff person advocating for my selected
right.
consultant.
Right.
You are an advocacy group on behalf of the town communicating about a town program relating to sustainability.
Also.
So I figured it would actually end up coming under your name as our chair.
Okay.
And so it's something I'm just kind of.
Awkward.
Yeah, but Hannah can sign it anyway.
I'll definitely sign it because I work in residential solar.
Right. So this is a thing that I was thinking about today. And I talked to Melinda, and Melinda was like, well, you work for a different, it's like, is this uncomfortable for you? And I was like, is it uncomfortable for you? Which I, on that side of things, was like, purely I'm all about education, and if I can tell people what the programs are and what Solarize is and why Solar, I was like, I know why Solar is awesome, and I'm happy to do that. The thing I didn't think of until recently was from my employer's point of view,
mm-hmm.
and is that an issue on that's like for me to be advocating for another thing.
Yep.
So I'm kind of trying to find a balance about, you know, I'm happy to advocate for the program and say what the program, like, say the facts, but it's just, it's a little wishy-washy.
It could be tricky for the letter to, a general letter, as you guys saw, from the Sustainability Committee will be signed by our chair. And that's kind
right.
of general practice. When it's about vehicle idling, I'm assuming you're like, I don't have any problems. And as
no
you
way.
Can see, our standard practice is that if you make a motion to send a letter, I sign it in the chair's name and I put my initials
right.
next to it.
I saw that.
You could, that doesn't, the fact that you wouldn't want to sign this letter or it might not be appropriate coming from you individually as an employee of another solar company
mm-hmm.
doesn't change the fact that the group could still act and we could have another signee, you could abstain,
mm-hmm.
so it would, like, you know, revert to our vice chair, or we could all move that the letter should be signed by the Sustainability Committee.
Right.
And we don't have to put an individual's name.
Okay.
You know?
I think that has more, I know this isn't, you know, me bucking tradition a little bit, but I think that, I mean, we're all on this committee because we're involved in talent, different things, you know, different people. I think that it would also perhaps be more meaningful and have a greater possibility of striking a personal connection if all of our names are on it. You know what I mean? Because then it's like, oh, well.
I know Chris. So.
Yeah, right.
It could. I think you're right.
Mm-hmm.
And
or,
so.
I
still have to.
All of the ambassadors.
Yeah, but we would. I mean, so we can only act as a committee based on the five of us
right.
because that's what we can control.
You're
we
right.
can't really put words in ambassadors' mouths. But you still may need to decide if you would feel comfortable your name being on a letter
right.
in group fashion. I'm getting the sense, and I totally understand and would support
well,
this, that you wouldn't want
to. I was sucked up by boss.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I think it's fine if it doesn't have your name either as the single signatory, because that might be a little too much to ask, or as a group signatory. It could just be that the letter is signed by the Sustainability Committee.
Okay.
And we don't have to list names.
Nice too, I think.
And so generally,
and I don't want to raise any eyebrows in the town. Like, I don't want people to. I don't know.
Yeah, and
I'm
we that we can work out. The first conversation actually is with our town manager and making sure he's comfortable because he basically saw this letter. He heard our old town manager say, I don't want to sign this,
right,
for the concerns he cited, and I understand those.
Yeah.
And now we'd be pitching to him why the same letter would come from a town group, not a town staff person. So first off, the manager needs to be comfortable with that. And then second off, I wanted to know that you guys would be open to that idea because it would be coming to you at your February meeting.
I think talking to the town manager too would make sense to bring up the point that yes, we are all a town committee, and yes, we do represent the town, but we also are all involved as solar ambassadors in this process as well. And the whole point of the solar ambassadors is to use word of mouth to help make this program more successful, which in turn makes it cheaper for residents to do it. So it's not, you know.
It could be that
there is some bridge. I definitely get both arguments though.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and I mean I think that the town is in a position where we are actually promoting a single installer. That's the nature of what Solarize is.
Right.
And
you
I think that there's
time, then.
Yeah. And so I think that there's a little bit of like, you know, I deal with it on a daily basis. I'm, you know, making Solarize calls and answering questions about it. I'm pretty familiar with the program. Someone that, you know, works for the town that may not be dealing with it that frequently suddenly comes across to them and is like, oh, this is, seems very much like we're promoting this private sector entity, which, as you can imagine, in any government industry, it's like, ooh,
yeah,
let's be very careful about that.
Yeah.
So this program does kind of like, it branches into an area of private-public partnerships that is can be a little unnerving for some people.
I'm also a little concerned that we as a committee really were not involved in the vetting because we didn't exist as a committee when this was being vetted out.
Well, no. Actually, Jim Norman was on our vetting committee.
Jim was, okay.
Yeah, so Jim Norman was basically the municipal selection committee had to be a town staff person who was me and two non-paid people who were basically designated as knowledgeable about solar and could represent the town's interests. And I chose a member from my CONCOM who helped with the previous review. His name is Chris O'Connor. And Jim Norman was kind of, I think, offered to us as a good fit from this group. And so, granted, Jim's not here, so it's the letter would be signed at a meeting where he's not even attending. But I think we could argue that the sustainability committee through designated member, communication had a role in vetting.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you know, I'm going to be honest, we went in there thinking it was going to be solar power just because, you know, that's what we thought, and we were really just impressed with what solar had to offer.
Right.
So it was.
And we have had opportunities, you know, to review them if we wanted to, you know, granted after the decision was made, but we've had an ample opportunity to ask you questions about why you chose them, we've asked the OER why they chose them, we've had that. So I'm personally not that concerned about the
aspect of it. Yeah. So, and I think, I mean, that's something that I think at our next meeting, I'm kind of prepping you because at our next meeting, in your packet, you might get a memo from me saying, you know, we've had discussions with the manager and we feel it's appropriate for this group to consider this letter. And here's a draft of the letter just so you can see what it looks like. And then at your next meeting, you'd have all the ability in the world to say, you know, I really either feel comfortable or I don't, or I think that the letter should change. Just obviously, like, within the limits of we can't change the letter to say the, you know, all town staff love solar flare.
Right.
But,
the old town manager likes solar.
No, but the letter isn't extremely controversial itself. But, what's that?
You're gonna include the letter in our packet next time?
Yeah, if we're doing it. I've got the letter drafted. I don't think it would change much from the version that the manager was looking at.
Just good practice to, you know, read things before you sign.
Yeah. I mean, there's times where you guys will make a motion like that idling. Sometimes it's like we could have set that up for you guys to look at it at the meeting before you sent it. Sometimes it's like this is in hand.
Right.
This isn't
right.
controversial.
Yeah.
That's
fine. We trust you.
Yeah. So I think that's all that's fit to print on Solarize. I'd say, as always, you know, I know that you're getting phone calls from Melinda Howard. Thank you very much for your time and energy and efforts. She's doing that with all my ambassadors. I have, you know, designated you all as ambassadors, whether you individually signed up for it or not. And I do appreciate your time and effort.
Right.
And so if you guys have any ideas on how this could be going better, feedback on, like, you know, missed opportunities, this is where you should be talking to people, tell me or tell Melinda, and one way or the other we will react and change to meet those needs.
I'm a little concerned we don't have any sign-ups. Can I voice that? I'm
yeah.
allowed to say that.
You are.
And I'm kind of wondering what could be done better.
So we talked about this at our call last week, and the feeling is that the reason why there's not a lot of signups is because of the little bit of the flux in the incentives.
Yeah.
Although, I think Bristol just made it to Tier 2.
Wow.
So, they're in the same state. They have all the same issues that we do. They were also a previous... Bristol's working with Sunwat.
Well, one's Barrington Soul Power.
I think Barrington Soul Power.
Okay.
All three communities are communities that did Solarize once before. We're all coming back for our second bite. So we're all communities that, like, maybe that first eager beaver, like, is already out of the way.
Right.
Now we're working with that next, like, you didn't hear about it, or, you know, like, you've been thinking about it, and now
right.
you're ready to make that decision.
Right.
I am also concerned, but I also, like, there's nothing we can do other than just to keep pushing it as much as
yeah.
we can push
right,
it.
Right.
And
no.
I don't think that there's a need to change strategy. I mean,
no.
we're basically, I think Solar Flare is doing fine. I think they were providing people with good info.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like their proposal was, you know, not accurate or not informational
yeah.
enough. It's like, I think that we just happen to not have signups. They're offering people a $200 discount for
mm-hmm.
being one of the first, like, 10 signups,
okay.
which you would think would help some people get over that,
right.
like the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
What season was it last time, the first time you guys did
it? It was
fall. So the reason I'm asking is because two things. One, nobody wants to spend money after Christmas. Everyone's like, I'm not spending money ever again. Like, everyone spent way too much money on holidays.
That's true.
Plus the other thing, and obviously, I live here, at least on Kingstown. People get a little reclusive in the winter. Like, people aren't, like, in the summer, like, when the weather's nice, I feel like everyone's out and about. Like, it's
mm-hmm.
easier to, like, have conversations with people. And that's something I've always noticed. Like, even, like, I used to live in Providence, and you used to come down here all the time. It's, people are a little bit less outgoing. Everyone kind of turns a little inward.
Yeah. Hibernation.
So, yeah, so... I don't know if that's part of it as well, but it's definitely like a mentality thing that I've noticed down here.
Interesting.
I
think that's a good point.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's, you know, I've never hung out in Bristol for the winter either, so I don't know if that's different, but...
Yeah, well, that's a good point. I mean, I guess the one good thing we have is that we did extend our deadline, so
right.
I mean,
yeah.
by the end of this program, it'll be spring. You know,
absolutely.
By mid-April, when you can still be signing up.
Mm-hmm.
I think by mid-April, someone needs to have... been in contact with Soul Power, or I'm sorry,
Solar Flare
already.
Awesome.
You know, someone can't like make the phone call like late April and say like I'm interested.
Yeah.
You know, it's like by this point, like for us to get to you, give you all the information,
get you signed up.
Yeah, get you signed up. It's going to be like that's a week to 2 week process.
We'll have a nice warm March.
So hopefully, you know, all those things are true, and we have like a kind of a late push with the
yeah.
incentives being more clear, the tariff being more clear.
Mm-hmm.
I think by the January 31st event, you know, some of those things will actually be more clear.
Right. And we can kind of gauge, like, the first event, there was a good turnout, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah, I did a count. I think we had, like, maybe about 50 people there.
Right. And we can kind of use the next event to gauge.
Yeah.
See where people are at.
And, I mean, I'm not going to push you guys too hard because I know you guys have lots to do and meeting fatigue is a thing. But if you're able to attend, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're kind of like, hey, you know, I got to pick and choose my meetings, then pick and choose your meetings. I'll support it either way.
If I don't have another meeting going on that night, which I probably won't find out about until the Monday of that week,
yeah.
I'll be here.
Thank you.
I was planning on it, yeah.
Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I think that's any other questions on Solarize? Any other thoughts or feedback on how we could be doing better?
No.
I do want to say one thing. People don't like letters coming to their houses.
No.
About things. I don't think. From what my industry experience, people don't like to be approached about it. That's what I think.
I don't really deal with homeowners, but I think if you're kind of, I find that people do like to be kind of flattered, like, meaning like, hey, there's this program, you can help you save a lot of
money, your house looks great,
like,
yeah.
Yours looks actually really great. But I don't know, I've never dealt directly with homeowners.
Right.
I usually deal with landowners.
Yeah,
it's just I had to say it.
No, we're open. I think.
But coming from the town is different than coming from.
Well, that's the key. Is like so,
Solar City or something.
Yeah,
like, you know this model of sending it from a town person. They've proven
tactful.
To be effective when they did it in Providence. So you know, like Mayor Lorza sent a letter from his name, and that got people's attention.
That's nice.
Did you get your attention?
No, I was in Providence, but I'm not spending money on solar. I'm one of those people that's like, I like it, I totally buy it, but I have other things I need to spend $12,000 on.
I agree.
Like my mortgage.
And my tiny human, I just
tiny humans.
Sorry to be on the spot, but I had to ask.
No, it's fair. But yeah, I mean, I have worked. South Kingston Solarized before
right.
Providence Solarized became a thing. So I was like,
yeah.
I know Solarized, and I don't need the flyer to know that like Providence is involved and what my option will be.
Right.
And then if I wanted to go solar, now is the time.
Right.
I was just like, yeah, I'm not close.
That's pretty cool in there.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's been proven to be effective in Providence and Warwick, where they did it before.
Cool. Well, then I think.
I just look at myself as a resident. Most flyers and stuff I disregard. But an envelope from the town, I always open.
Yeah, right. Yeah, something that comes. I mean, it will. It will be addressed to like current resident because that's how we're doing it. We're doing it every door direct, which is a different type. It's cheaper.
Yeah.
But the return address will be the town of South Kingstown.
Cool.
Right.
With our address,
yeah,
I think it'll get it.
That's
open.
More legit.
It's going to be a single page. Yeah, it'll have the logo. It'll be a single page letter that will basically be like, you know, dear resident, you know, and from the sustainability committee. It will look like something you should read.
Right. Okay.
Cool. Good. All
right. So I think that's that.
Sweet.
We're doing good.
We're cruising.
We're cruising right through.
Next up, South Kingstown letter of support for state energy grant proposal.
This is mostly just wanted to give you guys an FYI on something that I think was of interest to you. We got a copy of a letter of support that we sent to the state and a little staff memorandum that gives some background. It's a wait and see right now to see if this grant is successful from OER to the Department of Energy, and if it is, then we have a little bit more of a staffing resource to use.
And then South Kingston will be assigned or hire an energy manager.
I think that they OER solicits for a single manager to be shared amongst 5 to 10 communities. I think when we signed up, we were like the seventh or sixth community, and they said that we were getting the last spot that they wanted to go into the proposal with. And, you know, just because we're in there now doesn't mean that things wouldn't change and that someone could add on or that somebody decides to drop off and somebody else adds on, but we kind of have a spot.
Okay.
And there's no skin off our back. There's literally no reason. It's free technical support and assistance.
Awesome.
And we're not on the hook for anything after it. Although people that do energy work would like to think we're on the hook for it, you know, generally to keep up with a aggressive energy efficiency and energy management practice.
This is great. This sounds like something that we've actually brought up in meetings before, you know, having some sort of portfolio manager and benchmarking ongoing since
the
RedPath ended. This sounds great.
I think the only thing here, and I made it very clear when I was talking with Carrie Gill and Shauna Beeland, is that, you know, like, we don't want to be on the hook for anything, and they're basically like, you are not, but the intent of the program is to show you the value of having someone actively, you know, spending a lot of their time actively tracking your energy, identifying projects, and working to implement those projects and show you the value of that.
Yeah.
Right.
And that by the end of it, the town should be like, God, we do not want to lose that.
Right.
So whether we have to hire someone to staff that or we want to maintain some relationship in our consulting realm, whatever it is, like that's the goal of the program, is to show us what the value of that is.
Good. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's an example.
That would be a great person to
You don't have to, but they really want you to.
And the program, the program's designed where, you know, hopefully there's, it's like one of those, oh, of course we should keep doing this moments.
Right, yeah.
Right.
So, that's that. Just this, if we get it and we do get the energy manager, you know, honestly, one thing I will, and we'll talk, we'll save it for this next conversation, but since it's our next item, we can kind of lead in.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm really curious on the best fit for this committee with municipal facility energy management and efficiency issues, because you guys are all very technically savvy in this way, but also, you know, we have staff that it's our job to kind of look at the technical side of it. It's our job to, like, basically put together, you know, potential specific project proposals, and the decision on whether we fund them or not, you know, we don't want this group getting too wrapped up in, like, oh, you guys are, like, pitching the town on funding specific things, because, I mean, you're part of the town.
Right.
The town funding deciders are the town council.
Right.
And we don't set up our boards and commissions to advocate to the council for any specific purpose, because generally your role is to support the town's interest as a whole broadly. Otherwise, every town committee would be, every budget cycle would be sending a letter being like, don't forget about this. And like,
right.
That's not the goal of town committees, is to, I'm not going to, pester is too strong of a word, but to continually lobby the town council for outcomes. So your role with energy management wouldn't be to develop the projects. I mean, it might be. Maybe there is some role with you there, but like part of it is like you're not tracking the data. It's up to the town to track the data and identify where the opportunities are and identify that building needs help. Oh, how are we going to do it? Okay, now we've got a project. Now that we've got a project and scoped it, here's the price. Now what's the next step? Oh, to fund that project. I think that this group has a role. I'm just trying to figure out.
It has more of a facilitator role. It's finding programs like that, hitting the highlights, and knowing what pushes buttons for each person up there, making sure those bullets are there, and putting it on under their nose to decide.
Because the town council can, I mean, if they're looking to us, that's the other thing too. I believe that part of the reason this group was formed was to help you know, create change in the town, and I think part of that comes as providing information to the town council based on research, different things that, you know, we discover in our work. So not necessarily even lobbying one way or another, but just kind of presenting information, because the town council, you know, if they realize that there's like a big, you know, there's a missed opportunity for saving money or making some sort of other progress that they find valuable, then they can take whatever action they see fit. We wouldn't lobby, I don't think, necessary for the action.
I think the trick is that we need the town council or the town manager to be asking us for advisory reviews on these types of things.
Sure.
We can't, you know, it wouldn't be effective use of our, let's call it political capital,
right,
to be saying, oh, you know, we need the council to pay more attention to building efficiency, because, you know, generally, you know, there's a process by which staff are already reviewing these things and staff are already developing, you know, the best project opportunities, and we're already scooping these things. And then usually from a financial standpoint, the staff would take the first crack at, like, does this make financial sense for us? Like, what kind of resources do we have to bear? What's the return on investment? We're, you know, is this something that we need to, a building we need to invest more in? Are there other competing interests for facility improvements that we need to weigh this against? Like, that's all stuff that, like, the staff needs to do. But when we get there, and it might be a situation where we get down to, okay, now we have the top five energy efficiency improvements that we can make in town, we need the town manager or the council to say, let's have the sustainability committee vet this to ensure that these really do meet energy efficiency standards.
Okay, so we're more taking direction rather than creating.
I think that's the trick. It's so, like, it is really about, like, responding to, not trying to be, you know, like, oh, we're going to initiate putting this on your radar when it otherwise wouldn't, because generally it should be staff's job to put this on their radar.
Right. Okay.
And what I'd like for this group to do is to still serve a role where you're active, involved, and you're putting your support where, you know, where it should be with it, which is making your buildings more sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that'll be a work in progress.
Okay.
This group is obviously has expressed a lot of interest, and the community from Reform has expressed a lot of interest in municipal energy efficiency and renewable energy development, and generally, like, within municipal facilities, how can we do better there? But the actual tasks of doing better, a lot of it, it's, you know, it's a lot of staff-driven stuff.
Yeah.
Before it gets to a policy or a review by this group.
Okay.
And that's something that we can talk about and think about. But that is all a big lead into our next item on our agenda.
That was a big one, a big component.
What, our energy action plan?
Kind of. That and...
committee priorities.
Oh, yeah.
Development of work plan.
It's kind of awkward talking about this with only three.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I would rather have everyone here, but
yeah.
We can't. I mean, I guess Tony, there's a shot that he'll be here next week. I know Tony is very busy. There's no shot we got Jim next month.
Right.
Right.
Next month, not next week. So I think no matter what, I could prime Jim by asking him to email me stuff in advance.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to take advantage of, like, if you guys have perspectives on this that you wanted to share. But, you know, we may need to be slow burning this one a little bit until we have, feel like everyone's weighing in.
Can we get, so based on the conversation that we just had, I think that it makes sense for us to have some feedback from at least some members of the town council on this is what they, these are the types of things that they want us to be doing. You know, I think that, you know, because like we just said, like, we're really not taking initiative and making our own direction. We're here as a resource in a lot of ways for things that come up that need, you know, vetting or research or, you know, legwork done on it. So I think that we should get this to a point that we're comfortable, but I do think that in order to make sure that we're doing the right things, we should seek feedback and some sort of affirmation that we're headed in the right direction from the body that created us.
And when you say affirmation, are you talking about this energy action plan, or
yeah,
are you talking about like our own work plan, or somewhere between the two? So
I'm looking specifically at the energy action plan right now, but
yeah.
I don't have to look.
So the energy action plan, definitely going to get council sign off.
Okay.
And I think the energy action plan is literally taken right out of our in-process comp plan.
Oh, good.
So this is going into our comp plan. It's something that actually was developed before this group was really formed. I'm going to say, and this is just kind of being, you know, kind of blunt, is I think that our energy action plan, we're not as aggressive as we could be.
Mm-hmm.
Some towns would put in a really aggressive energy action plan in their comp plan and say, we shall reduce municipal energy efficiency by 20% by this date.
Right.
We are not a town that is going to go that route from a policy direction. And I think that's just because we're very... historically very prudent. We have new leadership, and I don't know how that's going to change things, and we're actually going to feel that out. I think that one of the outcomes of our comp plan is that we would use that to develop an energy management plan, which would then actually do a lot of technical research to see what's really feasible if we were taking a range of more aggressive options with our municipal buildings. And so when we pick a number, it's a number that we really feel strongly like we can get there because we know the 5 projects we need to implement to get there.
Right.
Or, you know, like maybe the 20 projects, but here's the 5 big ones that we know and we do feel strongly that we will sign on to those projects. So Some people would lead by setting a goal and then work to achieve that goal. We're a town that would want to know absolutely how we're going to achieve that goal, and then we're fine to set, make a statement that we will.
Okay.
But we have, I think this is the first step for a policy about energy. I think my questions to the group are, one, when you look at the staff memo that I wrote, it was early in your packet, it kind of sets up a discussion in general, and it kind of lists out some of the things that we talked about last month. Curious to get your feedback on that. This, in the end, I think the Sustainability Committee will be tasked as responsible entities for a lot of these implementation steps, which I think gives us some specific direction, and that direction will be coming from the council.
Yeah.
On what we can and can't do. So this kind of energy action plan is basically an existing document that would fold into our overall energy management plan. But our overall committee work plan. But we've already decided as a committee that we want to focus on municipal energy. We've already decided that municipal facilities and being more efficient there is a goal of ours. This might be more specific, like how to.
Yeah. I mean, I do think that this energy action plan, it's definitely lacking some stuff, too. I know that you focus on it. How can we contribute to this?
So that's the trick, is I've asked, I think that this is what it is, and this was given to us, and we were directed to make it a soft document.
Ugh.
And this language will not be reflected in our minutes, because this is, it is what it is.
Okay.
We were kind of directed not to be too aggressive with this at this point.
Okay.
I think
give any private landowners any really rights at all in here. It's basically like, we're encouraging renewable energy on town property, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, it's soft. What I would like to see eventually is that we set goals, and in order to set a goal, if we feel like we need to do a lot of research on how we can achieve that goal, and we do that research and we figure it out, great. I mean, however you want to call it, whether the chicken came before the egg or the egg before the chicken, let's get to a 20% reduction in energy use by some year.
Right.
But we're not doing that research because we're not at a point where we're worried about putting that into a document.
Yeah.
And we need to get to that point.
Okay.
But we're not there yet. But this document may change. I don't think that right now, I don't think that we need the Sustainability Committee to lobby for changing this. I think we're doing it at a staff level.
Okay.
And I think we're feeling out new leadership and their openness to this setting a more firm course of action towards developing an energy management plan. I think that this would probably be the first step of, like, we're not putting the goal in here, but we're putting the goal to develop the management plan that would set the goals. And again, I think that this group would have a role. When you read this, you could probably find under the implementation items, each of these implementation items will eventually be given responsible parties.
Okay.
And that would be like planning department staff, sustainability committee, Conservation Commission, you know, like, we probably don't have any more details, and then this is kind of given to you someday, and you're like, oh, we should work this into our work plan, like, specifically, how do we achieve it? This might change before it gets to that point.
So there's some top-down direction.
Yeah, and that kind of get into that whole conversation about, like, you know, like, I wanted to show you guys what we're doing with bringing in that consultant as part of the OER state.
Yeah.
I hope that this group has a strong role in that, but it's unclear to me exactly how and why. It's clear that the consultant is going to develop metrics to identify projects. It's clear that the town's going to have to vet those projects and vet them with costs.
Mm-hmm.
I want this group to have a role where at the end of the line, we are a step to kind of push the council to say this has really been thought through, and a town-appointed board has reviewed it and helped tee up our decision.
Yeah.
And we just need to kind of figure out the system of project review to get there, but I think it has to be directed from staff or from the council for this group to take those roles.
I think as someone, I'm very personally interested in this, because, you know, I know how often or I guess infrequently comprehensive plans get updated, so it's really, it's like, you know, it's like you want the town you live in to have a strong comprehensive plan on energy, because I mean, it could be a decade before it's updated again. So that's where I'm coming from. Not necessarily that we should have a role, it's just that,
yeah,
I hope it's too great.
Yeah. So that's kind of where that is now.
I don't have a work plan yet, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. It's not a work plan yet. It's a handful of bullets. And I know you weren't here last week, Hannah, but these bullets, I think you're looking at it. The page starts with 4, agenda item H.
Yes.
So right off the top of your head, are there things on there that maybe I did not capture from our last meeting? And I'd love to... Maybe this is a setup for our next meeting, but keep thinking about how we can, you know, further expand or answer the questions that I'm asking in those bullets as well. I think we're getting there. I think we're starting to connect the dots to like what are we specifically going to do. But
so one very direct action item that I would like to see us be involved with is I do as part of my job and personal interests, keep kind of a pulse on new opportunities that are available to towns regarding renewable energy. One of the ones that came out last year, and that's part of some of my concern, I think it, you know, it's our work plan, but I think it also should show up somewhere in the comp plan, is just being able to raise non-tax revenue through the new renewable energy legislation that got passed last year. So towns can charge tangible taxes for renewable energy. But I think that some of the ordinances that currently exist in the town, it really prevents the town from earning any of that revenue from those laws, because some of the ordinances, there's no wind ordinance, and the solar ordinance is very restrictive. So I do think that there's something that where it's appropriate, that's why I think it stands here, where it's appropriate and doesn't impact surrounding land uses, we should be able to, the town should be able to access non-tax revenue from larger renewable energy projects.
I'd be curious to hear... and when you say that solar ordinance is restrictive, you're thinking about the newest one we have that was adopted like maybe 9 months ago or so.
Yeah, super restrictive.
I'd be very curious to hear more about that, and we probably need to broach that and bring that information in the right context, because obviously the document creators are the people that would be making the decisions on whether we amend that document.
Right.
I'm happy for this group to serve a role in facilitating that, but again, it's like also, you know, being tactful in how we address, you know, enhancing opportunities.
And I've
been curious. I actually sent it to Shauna and said, Shauna, for a cursory review, can you please tell me like how and where this ordinance might be missing some things?
Yeah.
How and where we're, you know, maybe, you know, meeting and fitting with what the market would like to see, and also where we're not. And for community solar, does our ordinance open up the options for community solar adequately? Mm-hmm. So not even looking at it from, it has to be, you know, all about a private sector industry making money, but like how can we open up avenues for community members to participate when they can't currently?
Yeah.
I think that there's room for that. I don't want to write a... I think that writing a work item right now that says the Sustainability Committee will review and recommend revisions to the ordinance would probably be a little early.
Sure.
Because we're kind of like... It's still something that people are very proud of in its current state, and we're not quite ready.
Rain on anybody's parade.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm open. I think we also, you know, the goal of the ordinance isn't just to make the industry happy. We have to keep in mind that the goal of the ordinance
is to allow private. So I come at it from also from allowing, like, there's private landowners who can't utilize the ordinance to its full potential. Like, they're like, well, I don't want to put housing in, I'd like to put renewable energy in. It's very limiting. You can only do more than an acre if you're the town or a public, basically government or town. there's like, so it's, it is very limiting to people who actually are property owners who are trying not to put more houses too.
There is, there are two new versions of the ordinance, and the new, like the newest one is not available online.
Someone, I don't know. All I know is here in a, I was hearing it pass. I think I grabbed it here, and I read like the highlights of it.
You can do more than an acre as a non-government agency. We previously only had it available at like the GI zones.
Yeah.
Now it's available in many more zones than that, and it's available for larger acreage sites. So we have like a small, medium, and large scale.
Mm-hmm.
Large scale is certainly more than 1 acre. I think the one of the areas where it's considered more restrictive is our lot coverage percentage.
Right.
And so
that's fine.
Yeah. So it's.
Can you send me the most recent ordinance then? Because I'm pretty sure I have it. I'm pretty sure that I have it. But yes, yeah, so that's something that it's just, you know, for both for town people and also for the town to be able to raise money. I think those are two things that the more restrictive the ordinances are, the less access the town and the people who live in the town have to that. So those are my two concerns.
No, I'm happy to send it.
I would like to look at that.
Sure.
If you.
Yeah. I think I sent it to everybody, but then by sending it to everybody, I make it a formal committee action.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like I said, I think we can have a role eventually.
Yeah.
I'd like for that role to be kind of directed to us.
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to make kind of political.
This one isn't like a town council. Well, the council voted on that. Every ordinance the council votes on, but the document creator is someone that I think is open to always evolving and being better. And I think that it's just a little too early to tell that person we're ready to rewrite.
That's fine. Well, listen, I'm also thinking about a specific example of and I would say rewrite, but it's an easy fix. There's like spent gravel banks in town that are already non-conforming use because they're zoned residential. You have to get a use variance to put solar on a spent gravel bank under the current ordinance. Nobody is going to go for a use variance because the whole point of the ordinance is that it's a clear path that you know what you're getting into. So that's a specific example, too, that I think was just probably overlooked at the time. A
use variance for?
If it's something zoned, so residential zoned, you can't put solar in residential zones.
You can now.
Ground mounted over an acre?
Yep.
Okay, I do not have, so the ordinance that I came and like testified on that is not the current.
Well, so we had two new ones recently. So there was we changed the ordinance to allow, basically to allow for the town dump facility ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And then since that point, we've revised it. It was about, I think in May of 2017.
Yeah, yeah.
And that one did expand to many residential zones. I think the main challenge that some people felt was that the lot coverage percentages, which were like hovering around, I'm ballparking, but like 30%. Some people are like, if I can only cover 30% of my lot with solar, that's still limiting. But I think the town side of it is like, well, we don't want you building solar
right,
you know, like in such a like a way that's
right
to the
line. I'm thinking of some specifics. I'll look at it again, but I remember it being very restrictive for
higher
owners.
Yeah. So on that, I think let's keep a conversation going.
Okay.
And then the best way for me to do it is to actually tactfully tee it up at the staff level. And so, you know, to have my director telling me, yes, I'm actually open to this. Maybe we can, you know, first understand how it could change and whether there are areas that we're pretty comfortable with, and then to have this group tee up like a review.
It's definitely it's constructed very, very well, and it's clear and like and very robust. And but there were just a couple things I thought were possible omissions that you don't really realize until you start digging into it and like trying actively working with it.
Yeah.
I'd say.
Yeah. The good news is that I think the staff team that's responsible is interested in doing what's right. And that generally is evolving to allowing for solar where it makes sense.
Good.
But I think that now that I'm looking at this, we talked about energy and energy use and energy efficiency measures. I don't think that renewable energy came up in our bullet list. I think it's, to some degree, it's focus on municipal energy use in public buildings and associated cost benefits. I could probably work renewable into something like that.
But to me, it's for renewable, but it's for us helping the town take advantage of money-making opportunities.
Yeah.
Because the state's coming out with new programs all the time and new ways to make things easier for communities to take advantage of it. So that's where I think that I personally think I contribute some, you know, education to the group as a whole, because I work with it every day.
Yeah, I'm open to that, and I agree.
Cool.
Anything else that we're maybe missing, or I mean, this is obviously just a quick hit list.
Yeah.
The only other one that I think came out from that first forum that was pretty clear was a way to get lower income residents and others to be able to participate in some of this.
Yes.
Agreed.
That is something I think deserves our attention. That's something I talked to Chelsea about when we first had those meetings, was accessibility for low income.
I forget what the little placard or little card was that somebody wrote out, but it was very well said, I remember.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to think about... I mean, are either one of you guys aware of programs at the state specific for solar that make it more available as an income-based determination?
They're talking about it, but I don't think it's actually active.
There's something in the filing cabinet here. Were you at the last... Yeah, not the last stakeholder meeting, but, like, last year. Stakeholder meeting at Amica,
mm-hmm.
And there was something about... Let me go back. I'm going to write myself a note.
So I work with the CDBG program in town, which has a housing rehab component, but... developing a new solar facility would not fit within the proper use of those funds. But that's an example of a program that's like trying to get towards home improvements to set somebody up for success. And we buy, like, you know, we'd upgrade electrical systems, we'd buy new boilers, we'd buy new furnaces, we'd do all of that. So it's like, but I can't see that program, and that's a HUD program. It's not like, oh, let's change the rules to the HUD program. We're following HUD's rules, not we're dictating the terms of our own program. But I can't see that program being a fit, but it's something that's like, we're obviously trying to get towards people who have needs.
But efficiency, though, saves people more money off the breadth of that anyway. So I've seen some HUD programs that will only allow you to apply any money to renewable energy. I'm thinking of a specific project I worked on in Warwick, 2010, that you had to fill up all the potential holes in efficiency first. Like everything, like what you said, new electrical systems, new boilers, new windows, like even like the rugs were made from sustainably made everything. And then you could talk to them about renewable energy. So I would say that it's probably not, if it is a fit, it's not going to be if there's still other holes to fill prior to that program.
I think I might have dealt with that a little bit, like HUD's green building standards that needed to be met for certain. There's a lot of disaster recovery money. I like the idea of trying to explore that, but I don't know. Like, the town doesn't have like something like right off the bat that we could develop a program for it. It's really more like our role would be research and continually keep that on.
Yeah. And that would be, that's what we'll figure out too, is what's kind of stewing at the state level and what things can we learn about and then help communicate to our residents.
Cool.
And then the only other one that's kind of something to think about, sustainability and how it relates to so many of the other issues that are going on. The one I'm thinking of is, you know, running at 7 o'clock here to go see the facilities to study for the schools. We have a shrinking student base, so there's going to be cuts to our school programs, so now the town's going to be less attractive to live in from an educational standpoint.
Yeah.
So I know it's not sustainability in the sense of energy and water quality, but a less and less and less desirable place to live certainly doesn't make us very sustainable. I'm not quite sure.
It's a tough one. So it's like, I think that you look at sustainability, and I think this committee has a role in some broad scale stuff, but then it also comes down to like, well, what are the specific projects and tasks that we can accomplish? Like, here, we set up this task, and we can go from A to B on it.
And I 100% agree. I'm just wondering if every single committee is thinking that way. We have these narrow binders that these are things we're doing. Is sustainability really a greater thing that encompasses an awful lot of this?
I think it is, obviously. I mean, there's a lot of ways that, you know, sustainability is really just tied to, like, you know, like the effectiveness and longevity of any unit of, we call it the unit of government right now, because that's what our role is. But, like, a sustainable town is a town that draws people, takes advantage of all of its assets, so setting itself up for a brighter future, not just because we did energy efficiency, but because we're, a functioning unit. You know, like, what are the three E's of sustainability? Like, economics, equity, and environment. So it's like, well, we're touching on some of the environment, but we're not, and we're touching, I guess, on a few of the economics, but we're not, like, broadly touching on, making this an economically viable hub of, activity for the 21st century. But I think that it's funny, because I think that you're right, but also, you guys would probably be very interested to hear, like, little stories of what all my other groups are doing. You'd be like, they're doing sustainability. The Economic Development Committee is working to revise zoning in that commercial strip area of Old Tower Hill Road to allow for greater density, to introduce the idea of mixed-use housing, so a live-work environment, to try to make it more pedestrian-friendly. It's like all of that. They're using kind of the smart growth model. That's all sustainability.
Awesome. Yeah.
But it's like, you guys, it would be almost like too many cooks in the kitchen to say, like, oh, you guys take a role. They'd be like, we got it. We'll take your help. But, like, you guys have to focus on the things we're not already focused on.
But is our role in that part of, like we talked about earlier, like, almost being a conduit?
Sure.
Making sure that the different committees...
I think that there is something there. And it's just, it would be... I think that there is something there. I think the most, right off the bat, the best partnership between this group and another committee on a specific task is, and I've written you guys into this, you guys don't know it yet, but the Conservation Commission is recently received the go-ahead from the council to begin work on a community outreach process to consider a ban on plastic shopping bags.
Great.
That's something that highly specifically related to, environmental sustainability. And it's something that even came to us at the forum. Like, it was an idea that actually was dropped at the forum, and it's on our list. It's something that the CONCOM has been working on for a while, and I wrote that the CONCOM should actually reach out to this group to understand the resources this group could help provide, such as community forums, continued education, and like, outreach, and, like, where are those major supporters of stuff like this? Where's their information that helps really, push forward a municipal decision on that? So that's a good example. I mean, I think the EDC is doing a major, the EDC is my Economic Development Committee, is doing a major survey of every business owner in the commercial highway zone, but it's basically that Old Tower Hill Road, Dale Carlia Corner, everything that you can clearly tell is commercially, zoned, auto-oriented. They're going door to door. I mean, I think that when they're doing that level of outreach, this group could help with positive messaging. You guys probably know some of those property owners. I think there are some helpful things, and it's worth thinking about. And I think it might be starting on a project by project basis, where you're kind of like, oh, this is what you're doing that's most related to sustainability. How can we help you? And then as we kind of develop, this group kind of gets its wheels moving and starts working with these groups, maybe that, like, some of those natural collaborations continue to arise.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that any group we do in town is doing that wouldn't somehow, come back to sustainability of,
right.
Like, oh, you know, the Historic District Commission's focused on, you know, a program to preserve and provide homeowners with tools to better enhance their properties, so we can keep that as a character defining function of the town, to keep it, you know, part of our identity, which serves as like why we all want to live in Wakefield, not be in some random suburb, you know, like new subdivision, like why we do infill, why we... So it's like everything that everything every group does, I think you could find that, like, there's a few parallels. Let me think about, I mean, the ConCon will be reaching out to you about plastic bags, and let me think about what the EDC connection with this group would be. Yeah, it's worth thinking about. So for this, what I'll probably do is, honestly, you're going to see the same, kind of a little bit of a regurgitation of this for our next meeting. So you guys have seen it, and we've had this conversation. I want to pull Tony, and I'm going to ask Jim to weigh in with comments via email that we can bring to our February meeting. And what I'd like to do is to keep pushing this. I think my next step is to start taking this bulleted punch list, add some of the things that we've just discussed now, and layer in some of the pieces that we already did from the visioning process, like how, you know, how does this fit within our goals of energy, water, and solid waste. And I'd like to keep giving you guys things to react to, and I don't think we're there, we're like, here's our work plan. I think we're getting closer, but like, I'd love for you guys to keep basically giving me new ideas, feedback, tell me where we have some missing gaps, and then we can keep thinking about, you know, where our role is in all of these. As you can tell in all those bullets, there's as many questions as there are statements.
Yeah.
I have a question. Or just something I think to think about. Is the first thing here is public engagement. I think that's been like the top of our priority list since day one. Even before the committee was formed, I think that was a big thing. And just sort of thinking tonight, I've heard a lot of like top-down direction for the committee, and how can we keep people who aren't the town council or who aren't the school committee or wherever it may come from, who aren't higher government, engaged and informed, while still taking direction from the top down. Do you know what I'm trying to say? Does that make sense? And sort of what does our role with the public look like, given those things?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's no engagement. There's no lack of us being able to continue engagement.
Right.
It's like, what are we really going to...
What's
our task? How do we change it? How do we change the town? And how do we change the town is basically, there's still a wheel of government that's turning here, and we are part of it, and we have our little piece where we're pushing it in the right direction. But in the end, you know, we're, I mean, council basically dictates some of those final decisions. The council is educated by the town manager. And so we're kind of at a point where it's very dynamic right now with the town of, like, what is there an appetite for now that maybe there wasn't just as of last week. I think that the engagement, we could always have a role in public engagement, and I think that there's a lot that we can do that would actually not have a municipal decision tied to it.
Okay, yeah,
and
I think
that's like safe territory for everybody. Like, we get people active and interested, that's great. I do think that in the end, we want to create municipal change. We want to be the most effective cog of the municipal wheel that we can, and making sure that like we're pushing things in the right direction. And I think that's where this comes down to, you know, like, I actually really want this group to have a very valuable role with identification and prioritization of municipal energy, renewables and energy efficiency projects. To me, it's not completely clear exactly where that is. I think it's like, you know, it's having a stop here before it goes to the council, but generally it's also, you know, we need to know that we've got pretty realistic projects in front of us.
Would there be a benefit in, I'll say, writing a letter to the new town manager saying, we're too tired to hear your thoughts related to sustainability and the sustainability committee?
No, I hate to be the curmudgeon. I mean, it's such a good idea, and I know, like, you're trying to get to, like, give us that direction. We're ready. Like, you know, we are ready to, like, make this
town more
sustainable.
Yeah, we need it. Based on what we're talking about today, it sounds like we need to know who's giving us direction. Let them know that we're here and willing to take it.
I think that you're, I mean, I guess, thinking about it, Chris, the reason why we wouldn't send a letter is because it's assumed. I mean, I think it's assumed, you know, he's jumped into town. I mean,
yeah,
you could argue that I'm going
to
say yes.
That would be the purpose of the letter. It's kind of like, hey, we exist.
I chatted with him the night that he was announced here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, like, you know, and, you know, we are one of a dozen key municipal committees that he is aware they all exist, but, you know, yeah, I can't imagine, you know, like, we'd all, every committee should be sending him a letter. So he might, I think the letter and its intent is good. I think that the idea is that we shouldn't have to send a letter for him to know, like, hey, take advantage of us. And I think it's just a matter of, like, the details of taking advantage of you are actually happening right now. And I think it's honestly, it's up to me as your staff liaison to set you guys up for success so that you are the most effective cog in the decision-making wheel. But it also does kind of take a little bit, like, between staff, it's not really my authority. I'm working with Chelsea, I'm working with Rob, and making sure that, you know, where you guys have a role, it's most efficient and effective on our eyes, but it also uses your abilities, your powers that you wield as a committee to get real change done. And so it's like, you know, that's where I'm trying to figure it out. You know, it's like you're not there crunching numbers with us on all the buildings. You're not there, you know, doing scoping out budgets and, you know, weighing it against us. But you're there when we need you to be like, okay, you know, how do we vet these projects so that the council really sees them and is nodding their heads?
Right.
If staff are generally of the opinion, like, yeah, this is good stuff we're talking about. So it's somewhere in there in the final piece is where I see you guys having a role. At least, you know, for some of these. Some of this other stuff, it's like, it's really new territory. Like water, you know, we're kind of like, how do we do something different with water, whether that's stormwater or water consumption, that no one's thinking about quite that way yet. We haven't really refined that, and I'm really curious to kind of refine that more. And then solid waste, it's something that, you know, we're also kind of like, you know, hey, what does a board really have to say if it's, you know, the municipal transfer station, like, let's change our approach, our policies. You have to have those conversations. Like, I, as a planner, am aware of the energy stuff. I'm aware of the municipal, you know, stuff. I'm, you know, like, but some of this is new territory for me, so. But I also, I mean, it has to be with where your interests and your passions are, or else you guys won't be interested in doing it.
Right.
So, so you, like I said, you'll probably see a little bit of a regurgitation of some of this, and that's really more to, I'm going to be teeing up Jim and Tony, and then, you know, keep making sure we're on the right track, because eventually what you're seeing here in bullets, we're going to be answering these questions and then plopping these things right into our work plan.
Great.
And I think we're still probably, you know, maybe a few months from having, like, a work plan that we feel solid about. But
who is the new town manager?
His name is Rob Zarnetsky.
Okay.
Where are you from?
Came from Connecticut. He was doing some work with like regional government leadership. He was previous town manager in Norton, Connecticut. And I met with him a few times today, actually.
Cool.
Which is for day one. That's a lot of... It was CDBG stuff that we were dealing with. But
his first day?
Today was his first day.
Woohoo!
And he's not here with us tonight.
Yeah,
right. He actually might stay. Well, I'm curious. Maybe he's still over in the building. But yeah.
Well, oh, cool. That's
so that's that. Yeah, he seems like he's very positive, very, you know, very interested in what's going on. He's very interested in the school issues. You know, he wants to, like, he thinks schools is an important issue to, like, set the community up for success.
Mm-hmm.
That this has to be, like, a draw
it's
for people.
Kind of one of the things we're known for down here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's a key function of, like, our our economic viability as a community that draws people.
Sure.
This next meeting is going to be interesting.
Yeah. I did look into that report. You had once brought that up and said, you know, what is going on with that? I'm sorry I never really relayed it back to you, but the municipal facilities report was less about energy than some may have wished.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you may be going because you're just interested in the topic as a whole. Like,
he's got kids.
Yeah, so you're going for more than, but it didn't have as much of an energy function as I think we initially maybe thought it might.
Apparently they didn't think a whole lot about the energy efficiency of the buildings as they decided which ones to keep.
Yeah, I think that's part of it, is that that's an odd one. I know there was a consultant brought in and there were some issues with the consultant, but I don't know enough about it I just knew enough about it to know that it wasn't something that it was worth us spending a lot of time on. Any other questions or thoughts?
Not at this time.
You're going to send me two orange, right?
Yes, I will.
Then
you want one too, Angela?
I would like to see it. If that's an issue, then...
That's not an issue.
It's so pressing, but I would like
to... I mean, I'm kind of sending them to you as individuals. You're not reviewing this in your function as a committee yet.
No. I honestly am just... curious,
if you guys
have
comments on it and email me back those comments, what I might be doing is just kind of like starting to foreshadow and drop hints that you know, there are ways to improve that, and that, you know, maybe set it up where this group would have a role in that.
Sly about it.
In the end, that's a planning, like that's really the planning board's area. But if my director, who oversees the planning board, feels that it would be helpful for some of this to be coming from the sustainability committee as experts on the topic, then we can do it. What we want to do is generally we'd be making sure the planning board is in total agreement with what changes should be made and they understand the rationale why. So that this group might be helping make sure they understand the rationale, because they don't have like the perspective from the industry sector. Yeah.
I'm just going to make sure I have the right one, because I already do have one. So I don't know which one it is. You're making a question. My knowledge. Not my knowledge. My resources.
Sure.
Another question.
All right.
Anything else, team?
Not now.
No.
All right. Our next meeting is not on a Monday.
It's on a Tuesday. February 13th.
Yep.
Are they at 5 now?
I would like that.
Forever? Okay.
If you guys are okay with it.
Yeah.
You actually were the two that I think have the hardest schedules for it.
I can do it.
Chris, is 5, if 5 works for you?
Yeah.
This actually might work, because if I have meetings that are conflicts... the same night, which happens more when it's not on Monday especially, those usually start at 7. So I feel like if they start at 5, there's a better chance that I can be here for at least an hour and a half or something. Whereas if it's at 6, it's one or the other. So
when is it now?
The next meeting is on February 13th. A regular night is President's Day, and I'm actually going to be gone, and like the rest of that week is a lot of conflicts, so I went with the Tuesday before.
Okay.
I didn't bring my phone in the way I could be more present today, so I'm gonna need your email reminder about this.
You're all gonna get email packets, but your email packets are gonna come probably like less
Tuesday
than a week.
Before.
Yeah.
Alright, as soon as I get in my car, I'll put it on my phone. 13th, what's the day this again?
13th, 5 o'clock.
13th, 5 p.m.
And then the rest of the meetings actually are all on the third Monday.
Okay.
But you never know if you guys get booted because you, like, I think...
What time does town council usually meet, though? 7, right?
Yeah,
so
but...
why don't we keep it at 5?
So here's the challenge, is that Mondays is generally a council night. Councils meet 2 times a week, but if their schedule gets screwy for whatever reason, like, oh, well, we need to hold an extra session, or...
Change of month.
What's that?
Change of month, right?
Two times a month.
Okay.
So generally they meet like the second and fourth Mondays of the month, and you guys are the third Monday of the month.
Mm-hmm.
But when they add meetings, when they have to reschedule, when other things come up, they go for Mondays. And once they go for a Monday, that locks us out of this room, because the setup for a council includes TV. It's not like we can come in and have a meeting right before the council.
Right.
And it has been practice here in the town, as we don't like to have any town group meet on the same night of the council, because if someone was a really active resident and they wanted to attend both, they couldn't.
Right.
It's a timing issue. What if we met? Is there anywhere else in the building we could meet at 5 on Mondays?
They, in the past, past leadership has not wanted us to even have meetings in this building on the same night, even when it doesn't have a time issue, because that was felt just to maybe bring in a conflict of, like, people weren't sure when they were coming in, why people were leaving.
Okay.
Odd stuff. If it was a council meeting, we were kind of instructed not to have any other meetings in the building that night.
If you meet meetings at 5, you're not on Mondays, I can probably make it. If meetings at 6, other days of the week, like Monday, probably going to have a tough time meeting after.
And I think that most of this, which the rest of the year is on Mondays, will stick. I think that there's a chance that one or two will need to get rescheduled. And out of that, I mean, we can just be nimble and figure it out when the time comes.
Yeah, fine. Cool, man.
I'm pretty flexible.
Thanks for the time. That actually is huge for me, guys.
Yeah.
Because then I can
actually... This is better, too. I like leaving us having...
Well, for me, I might either be driving home so I could catch my daughter before she's asleep.
Right.
But right now, I'm doubling up my meetings. So I've got Economic Development Committee starting at 7 here, which to me is like to be able to have two meetings on one night instead of two meetings on two nights is very helpful.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
You just hear actually one day a week.
Yeah. So.
Makes sense to me.
Thanks. Right. So.
Meeting is adjourned.
That's it.
That's all.
That's all.
Good night.
Sweet.
Chris, where'd you grow up? Why are you here?
That's a good question. My wife's folks. Well, actually, my wife's aunt moved to be a professor at URI many years ago, and so then my wife and her sister started getting shipped at the Camp Fuller every summer.
Cleo, when you finished, where you been? This is a different group. This is our sustainability committee.
Is this where we're meeting?
Yeah, we are meeting here.
We're leaving.
Yeah, no. Why don't you stick around here?
Yeah.
Nice to meet you. I would say my son's making gurgling noises.
This is Sustainability Committee.
What was it?
Sustainability Committee.
Oh, we're being sustained. Okay.
We are.
There you go.
You guys have a very good night.
Talk to you soon.
Yeah, indeed.
Sustaining is good, you know? You better get home early.